Welcome to What's Poppin'. My guest today is Dave Hemker, and not just Dave Hemker, the congregation member of Prince of Peace in Fremont, but Dave Hemker, someone who's involved with Garuna Ministries. And so we're going to talk specifically about that part of Dave's life. And so, Dave, thanks for being on the show.
Happy to be here.
Dave, you are part of Garuna Ministries, as I already prefaced everything with. What is your role?
So when Prince of Peace decided to raise the money to build the first school in Siem Reap, I had just retired, and Jeff Ehlers, who's the chairman of Garuna, asked Pastor Zelt about having Prince of Peace consider nominating someone for the Garuna board so there'd be a tighter tie. This was the first time Garuna had ever had an entire school built by a single organization.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he felt it would be good to have kind of that connection back. And since I retired, I didn't have a good excuse to say no. So, but it was actually, it was very, you know, easy to say yes. So yeah. I've been on the board of directors of Garuna, I guess that was 2018. And for the last, almost all that time, I'm also the treasurer of the organization. So, yeah.
Okay. So you're on the board and the treasurer. And you were telling me earlier that it used to be Garuna Foundation. Now it's Garuna Ministries.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, foundation was because it is kind of raising money in the U.S. to do ministry over there, kind of like a foundation, giving grants out. And it really, the ministries reflect kind of their threefold approach to ministry over there. So they have kind of the pillars of what they want to do are to support the local church, so the Cambodian Lutheran Church, the CLC, to train, educate future teachers and pastors and lay people. So that's through LISA, the Luther Institute of Southeast Asia, and then Garuna Christian Schools is kind of the third leg.
Why is it called Garuna?
So Garuna in Khmer, the language in Cambodia, and I guess in Thailand, in Thai, means grace.
Oh.
And so that's...
Was not aware of that.
Yes.
I learned something new. That.
Yes. So that's... Then it's meant to, I think, when you people say it, they're like, okay, why do you call it grace? You know, and so then they can... Gives them an easy opening and start talking about it.
Yeah, it's a starter.
Yeah.
So with all of your work on the board there and being treasurer of Garuna Ministries, what gets you most excited about what's happening there in Southeast Asia?
I mean, I guess the opportunity is amazing because really, I mean, the number varies, but it's in the low single digit percentages of people there that are in Southeast Asia that are Christian. Mm. And so, and it's not just, oh, they're not, you know, they were Christian. They were, I mean, they've never heard about Jesus or Christianity, the vast majority of people. And so it really is kind of just a totally different environment, which is refreshing in some sense because, you know, they're like, well, tell me more, you know, you tell them they're hearing this for the first time. So I think that's exciting. And then just the way the schools have really grown, because the first school that we did in Siem Reap was the sixth school for Garuna in Cambodia. And now our third school will be number 11. Okay. And there's also a number 12 in the pipeline coming as well. So it's pretty much been one a year.
Yeah, so six more since 2018, sounds like.
Yeah.
Now, there is a saturation eventually, right?
Theoretically, yes. But yeah, I can't remember how many millions of people are in Cambodia.
It's okay,
sort of so, like, so there's too many Lutheran churches in Fremont because everybody knows, you know. So theoretically, yes. But right now, it's really the saturation point. What the limiting factor right now is getting qualified Christian teachers.
Yeah, okay. And that leads me to my next question, because I know that you're pretty excited about LISA.
Yes.
Not a person.
Yes.
But the Lutheran
Institute
of Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what gets you so excited about that?
Well, it's just that they have, I think, three tracks. You kind of work through LISA 1, 2, 3, and each one of them becomes more, it's more in depth in theology, doctrine. They start off with Luther's Small Catechism. Mm. And it's like one of the great strengths of Lutherans is really about teaching, you know, and the material's all there, and they're all like, this is awesome. Because some of the people that are, you know, pastors in the church maybe came from a Baptist sort of
Baptist Reformed, Pentecostal. Yeah.
They came over and they're like, okay, this is, and then when you talk with them, they're like, because I'll say, well, why are you Lutheran now?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, because it makes so much sense. This is like the law, gospel, the grace aspect of it. It's all mm-hmm. just, you know, and so I think that's always been a strength, right? Mm. And it's all Christianity, but I think you want to leverage where we have positive differentiation, where we really have a gift in that. And I think the Lutheran Church has been gifted in kind of the ability and the approach of kind of teaching.
Systematics,
I guess if you want to call it that. Yes.
That's the big word for it. Yes. But systematics, yes. An idea of how theology fits together.
And it works not just at the SEM, it works down even in the lower level too.
So. How it all works together and how to understand scripture and piece it together as much as we can.
Yeah.
And that's another strength Lutherans have, is we're okay with going, we don't actually know how all that works.
Yeah.
So what makes you excited about what Garuna is doing in Southeast Asia for the church worldwide?
I think it's, so the, you know, if you take Missouri Synod, there's been a model for international missions for mm-hmm. a long while. And it has always been kind of, you train people in the U.S. and then you send them over there, hopefully to train leaders and things. Mm-hmm. But it really was kind of, you know, you need to learn the language. And and that was Jeff and Cheryl Ehlers that started Garuna were missionaries in the LCMS in Thailand mm-hmm. for a long time. And they kind of recognized, you know, okay, here are the advantages, the strengths, and the weaknesses. And they really are all in on it needs to be the local, you know, you want to train the local leaders, have mm-hmm. them make the decision. It's not us coming in and saying, here, we're setting up your church for you.
Yeah.
It's you need to set up your church. We're going to give you the tools and the help to do that. And even to the extent of teaching the LISA classes. Mm-hmm. There'll be a lot of people, you know, initially from the U.S. going over, but now we're trying to get it where the vast majority of it is taught by the local pastors.
Indigenous people.
Yeah. And so I think that's a real strength of the church in general, because you can kind of say, you know, if there's some hesitation about changing what we've always done, mm-hmm. now it's like, well, look, you don't even, it's low risk. It's already been, it's working type of thing. And they're also, you know, the three-pronged approach, I think, is important, too. It's not just we're going there to plant churches. That's great. That'll come out of it as well. But the church plant may come, like in Siem Reap, I'm hoping it comes out of the Sunday school that the parents asked for.
Right.
And that's before church, where there's another school where they've had a church there, and then they started the Sunday school.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic approach when you think about it, where you have a group of people who are new to Christ, who are Christians, they're following Christ, and like, we want a pastor. We want to have a church, which is much different than a pastor missionary going into someplace and saying, I'm going to teach you about Jesus and you're going to be my church.
Yes. I've used the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch story probably too many times, that it's where there's a pull.
Yeah.
It's like, I would like somebody to tell me about this. And hey, why can't I be baptized? There's some water, right? Yeah, it's like, that's kind of the same thing. The parents are there. Why can't we have a Sunday school? And when we were over there last time, there were like 200 kids on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Just in their regular play clothes. They weren't in school clothes. It wasn't mandatory.
Yeah.
And it was VBS, you know, Fremont VBS every week there.
Yeah. So. And so getting those teachers and pastors trained at LISA is very, very important.
Yeah.
Is there any barrier as to finding or identifying folks to be those teachers and pastors?
It's just a numbers game right now. And so what you'll see is there'll be personal networks of people that, you know, actually at Siem Reap 1, kind of the bottom line we make sure is that every school, the principal, vice principal, and Bible teacher are all Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all 100% of them have come out of LISA.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a requirement, but that's just the way
how
it
works.
But math teacher, the Khmer teacher, the English teacher potentially could be from the public schools.
Okay.
Which is fine, you know, because they're only half day schools in the government schools.
And that's the public schools,
The public schools. That's why there's this huge hole that the Garuna Christian schools are filling. But there's, I know for a fact, at least one of the teachers at Siem Reap 1 wasn't a Christian, came in, and now he's been baptized, and he's, I think he already passed the first course or level of LISA.
Yeah.
And he's, I don't know if he's going on his way to become a pastor or whatever, but it's just, it's, I mean, there, so that's how you get some of it, I think. And then the thing that probably has me most excited near term is the teacher aid program that they started.
Hmm.
The teachers get to kind of nominate six of the best, you know, the top sixth graders graduating.
Okay. Yeah.
And they go on to the government school for middle school and then high school. But they designate them teacher's aides. So they come back every day and they help with the kids. They help teach lessons. They, you know, play with them. They, you know, kind of like in VBS, so we have the aides there.
Yeah.
And that keeps them connected.
And then they could turn into someone who goes to Lisa eventually, then come back and teach or become a pastor.
And in fact, Pastor Peter over there has a, had a brilliant idea. I didn't even see that one coming, where he wants, once they get through high school, if they go to college, they'll typically go to Phnom Penh. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the best university there.
Yeah.
And I think tuition for the year is $500. So there's an opportunity for Garuna college scholarships.
Support that, yeah.
And then he said they're going to, if they go there, he will also automatically enroll them in Lisa.
Oh.
So then they have a place to go in Phnom Penh, because there's a building there and a community there. And they will automatically not only kind of stay, you know, it's like a weekly Bible study, only more, and they'll kind of be grounded, rooted in the church, which is a...
It's pretty smart.
It's a, you know, we struggle with that here, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it, you could see the thing that really struck me is when they, when we were over there this last time, the teacher aides were coming and they did some songs and things like that. And just watching the kids watch them was really good. So that's a... You know, it's right now, it's a thing I think the kids are going to aspire to, and it's gonna be a virtuous cycle, right? So then every year there'll be six more, so eventually you'll have a couple hundred of these teacher aides. And I got to talk with them, and I think about half of them wanted to be teachers, you know, because we kind of asked them, and they're seventh graders.
You're so, right, yeah, yeah.
And half of them wanted to be teachers. Most of the others wanted to be like a doctor.
Okay.
One was a dentist, I think. And then one guy didn't know how to explain it. And then they translated, he wanted to be an engineer. So that I felt good about. So,
of course you did.
Yes. So I was like, okay. So.
Well, Dave, is there anything else you'd want to share with the folks of Prince of Peace while you have their ear?
Well, I think to understand a little more fully from the bigger perspective, how Prince of Peace has been kind of a role model for this, because as I mentioned, up until Garuna 6, with the first Prince of Peace school, it had just been random donations from different places around the country to build the schools. And so by Prince of Peace doing that first school, that spurred on this Omaha coalition of a number of Omaha churches to do it. They were over there dedicating their first school while we were there at the same time. And the Desert Foothill Congregation in Arizona is doing the next one after us, you know, actually number 10 before our number 11.
Okay.
So they're getting started right now. And there's lots of interest now. So I think that, you know, we didn't maybe know it at the time, but I think it really opened up a whole new kind of model.
It wasn't a goal, but that's the result.
Yeah, it's a lot of really positive things about that, because people are like, and then, you know, we'll see with us going for our third school.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's impressive. And I think that really is, you know, trying to model what we should do.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us and explaining more what Garuna is and your role in it, especially the Lisa part and how they're finding leaders. I think that's a really important part of this whole process, which as those of us at Prince of Peace who support the school don't think about when we support Garuna, we're doing that too. It's not just the kids, it's leaders who are going to teach those kids, and then those a place for those kids to become leaders too.
Definitely. Happy to be here. Thank you.